Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everybody. Another edition here of the Auburn Undercover Podcast on the 24/7 Sports Network. My name is Nathan King. Happy Monday morning to everybody who is recovering from, boy, just another brutal loss for Auburn. Just more of the same that we've come to expect, unfortunately, from this team in SEC play. Joined here by Jason Caldwell. Obviously, Auburn lost over the weekend to LSU 21-17. It's mind-numbing, I think, is the way Philip put it after the game, and I think that's probably the most apt description, because we're just sort of becoming numb to these kinds of performances at this point. You had Auburn obviously taking a 17-0 lead in the second quarter, and I think at around that point we all just kind of looked around and said, how are they gonna screw it up? I mean, we're just so used to this at this point. It ended up being in the form of letting LSU score right before halftime to make it 17-14, and then three fourth quarter turnovers sort of sealed the deal. Jason, there's a bunch of mind-boggling stats that go along with this game. The one that really got me, though, is this is the fifth straight SEC game in which Auburn has held a double-digit lead. They've only won, obviously dating back to last season, they've only won one of those games, and it was Missouri, the game they probably should not have won. You know, you always talk about you want to try to find ways to win regardless. We've said it before regarding this team, they continue to find new ways to lose games, going back to last season, and this was just the latest example. 17-point blown lead. They went scoreless for the entire second half once again.
Yeah, this one's probably one that you owed for getting out of there last week with a win over Missouri. Those two, Auburn outplayed LSU. I thought was the better team for much of the day. But didn't get the win. But you know, part of that is, you know, not turning the ball over. You know, all those things come into play as being part of that better team and doing those things. I thought there were a lot more positives in this game offensively. Robbie Ashford, the big plays that you made defensively, they really shut down LSU's passing game and made Jaden Daniels look terrible. The wide receiver group looked terrible. Auburn had a little bit to do with that. They had some of it to do with it as well, but you're right. There's things you can't avoid. One of the things you can't avoid is that, once again, you had a 17-0 lead on a team that had no chance to score 17 points unless you helped them, and Auburn did. They helped them out. You know, the fumble return for a touchdown, calling timeouts right before the halftime, and basically giving LSU enough time to score there. I don't believe that LSU was going to try to call a timeout there at the end of the first half. And then when they got 3rd and 10, they realized, well, we better try to get a first down here or else Auburn's going to get the ball back. They throw a pass, get a penalty on Derek Hall, and extends the drive. And then he allowed them to use all three of their timeouts and 11 plays to score with 15 seconds left. That doesn't happen without those timeouts that Auburn called. You know, the the field position game in the second half, going forward at, you know, the 38-yard line. There are just some things, obviously, the Coy Moore pass. I mean, there's lots of things that go into this one that you know, we talked about last week. It took almost everything going right in Auburn's favor to win a game against Missouri. It took almost everything going wrong there from late in that game to lose that game to LSU, and it did. And it was, you know, for all the positives that come out of that, you still start looking at it going, and something I thought about today, and I'm writing about a little bit on my Monday morning quarterback, that this is an Auburn team that has not played a game against a road crowd in 8 games. And the only wins they have are Mercer, San Jose State, and Missouri. That's it. That's going to change, you know, beginning Saturday. They got 4 of the next 7 on the road. This team hasn't been on the road since South Carolina last year. They played a bowl game, but it was in Birmingham, and they had 90% of the fans. You know, they've struggled in these situations while having the home field advantage, home crowd advantage. Now, what do you do now? That's the big question moving forward for this team.
Yeah, the crowd was certainly a factor. Again, we talked about it before the game. They were electric, as they've been all season long, helped Auburn in a lot of situations. This, I wouldn't describe it as a gem for Auburn's defense, but it was a really, really good performance for them. You look at LSU, every drive they had 2 touchdown drives, obviously they need, and both were helped by Auburn, as you referenced, that drive right there before halftime where Auburn uses the timeout, and then Auburn elects to go for it. Harsin elects to go for it on 4th and 10 from the 37-yard line. That gave LSU its best field position of the game to that point. Mm-hmm. And then they scored after that. Every other drive for LSU in the entire game, all punts and the fumble. I mean, the Auburn's defense, other than those couple drives, played really well. Obviously, you had the scoop and score from Ashford. But like you referenced, it was the second half, some of the decisions in the second half. Obviously, at the end of the day, like Brian Harsin referenced about the Coy Moore play, you know, at the end of the day, it didn't work. You know, if it does work, then it's a great call. If he throws a touchdown to Camden Brown, a great call. You know, so at the end of the day, it just wasn't executed properly. But you had 3 possessions in the second half where you give the ball away in LSU, deep in LSU territory. Twice was in the red zone. One was outside of the red zone. Basically 3 turnovers. You had 2 turnovers. You had the interception by Moore. You had the interception by Robbie Ashford, which that was a great individual play by Greg Brooks to make that pick. But you had a turnover on downs on that 4th and 10 call. So you turn the ball, you basically turn the ball over in the second half 3 times in opposing territory. We talk about this team not finishing games. That's going to hurt your cause. And now we sort of update their second half struggles. The adjustments on offense continue to just be a massive concern for them. We're now, Jason, up. You go back the last 8 Power 5 games. We've just been updating this thing as the weeks go on. The last 8 Power 5 games for this team, 21 total points in the second half in those games. I think that averages out to like 2.6 points per game in the second half. Less than a field goal per game in the second half for this team against Power 5 teams dating back to last season. This week, it wasn't so much of the offense regressing. I mean, they did regress in the second half, but not that much. They were still able to get across midfield. They had a few good running plays. Robbie Ashford had a couple big completions to some tight ends there in the second half. But it was those decisions that did them in there, basically turning the ball over 3 times.
Absolutely. And you also have a short missed field goal in the game too. You know, short as being 40 yards, but you're 23-yard line. So you start talking about the opportunities. Auburn gave itself ample opportunities to win that football game. And I don't know that I remember one where, not in this, at least in the last 15 years or so, where a team had a 17-point lead and lost a game to a team that had less than 100 yards passing. That's hard to do. It's hard to do those things. LSU had 5 yards passing in the second half and won a football game. And they weren't ahead by 4 touchdowns. They were behind. Hard to find a way to lose a game like that, and Auburn did, and that's got to be the most frustrating part for them, the players, everybody. When you lose a game like that, you could tell that they were prepared. They did a good job. They executed. Hey, Robbie Ashford plays like that. He gives this team a chance to win some games down the stretch. I mean, it's tough to find a way to think you're going to do that against Georgia, but hey, Georgia struggled with Missouri. But you start thinking about it, you know, throwing for 300 yards, moving the pocket, doing some of those things. I thought Brandon Council at center really gave them a good boost, you know, on the offensive line. There's some things to take from this game moving forward, but if you can't score points in the second half, you better be lights out in the first half. And they did a pretty good job, but it's just hard to win games. I mean, those numbers are – it's just – it's hard to even wrap your mind around it that you're averaging 3 points a game in the second half, almost a full season in. And you know, you're talking about now going back to, you know, that – you know, was it the Ole Miss game last year? You start going back to that game and, you know, you're almost now, I guess, 10 games since then, something like that. And so you're 3-7 and you got next two games on the road. You're talking about a 12 game, you know, nugget here. You don't win either one of these two. You're 3-9 your last 12 games.
Yep.
That's not where you need to be.
Yeah. So now, 9-9 for Brian Harsin, had it at an even 18 games into his Auburn tenure. Talking about Ashford a little bit, I just think this is Brian Harsin kind of talked about it after the game. They didn't go away from the run, but they realized what we talked about last week, where you might have to do some things in reverse, and they did a pretty good job of it. And I just think that this is going to be your best form of offense moving forward. And with Ashford, you're going to take the mistakes. You just have to. I think at this point, this is something we referenced all the way back in the off season. We talked about his ceiling and the kind of plays he can make for them downfield. You knew there was going to be that Ojulari play. No way he should hold on to the ball that long. That's just an inexperienced quarterback, mm-hmm. not having the clock to know that a guy is bearing down on you. It was as unfortunate as possible because it was a scoop and score. You're just going to have to live with those, I think, right, moving forward. If you're Auburn, because we talked about explosiveness in the passing game, we talked about it all season. They found it. They did it in this game. 4 explosive passing plays, 30 yards or more. In this game, Jason, they entered the game with 4. So they matched their total for the season. We finally saw Javarius Johnson get into the end zone. You could kind of see once he caught the ball that he was determined not to go down like he had been over and over again at like the 2-yard line. Had a huge play, 61 yards to Jarquez Hunter. Those were outside the pocket. Those were the safeties drawing in. Mm-hmm. They had game plan for Robbie Ashford to be a runner. They hadn't seen much of him as a passer. But then there was decent pass protection. You had the throw to Coy Moore. You had the touchdown to Camden Brown, where he was able to stand in the pocket and deliver downfield. So in the first half, a lot of positives. 337 passing yards for him in this game. A lot of positives for this passing game. I think you can take away, you can build off of. It just happened to be a perfect storm of disasters in the second half. But for the second straight game, you just can't pin much of that on a guy like Robbie Ashford. I think especially in this game, he did absolutely everything he could.
Correct. I mean, yeah, without him, then, you know, I'm not certain this Auburn team scores because they weren't able to run the football, line up and run it greatly. I mean, you know, Jarquez Hunter had some success. A Tank had a late run that made his numbers look a little bit better. But, you're right. We talked about it last week. You're going to have to live with the mistakes that are going to inevitably come from Robbie Ashford at times. But I think you look and I think this is an improved wide receiver group, catching the ball better. They're doing some things there. And you're going to have to play that way to have a shot. Now, playing that way and trying to stay upright against Georgia, a little bit different scenario on Saturday. Even Ole Miss gets out. They'll blitz a lot, do some things. But that's your chance. Right now, you don't have much of a chance of lining up two tight ends and running the ball and doing a whole lot of things in this offense. Robbie Ashford spreading the field out of the pocket, making some of those, things that people used to get mad about with Bo Nix, but sometimes you got to do those draw some plays up in the dirt plays. That's what Saturday was for the most part. Had a couple of those plays, but some of those big plays were plays where Robbie Ashford kept the play alive and made a throw and someone made a play. And now the next step is getting the ball to your playmakers more often from a coaching staff standpoint, they got to get Javarius Johnson touches outside of the first few minutes. He had two catches for 73 yards in the first quarter, had one for one the rest of the game. He's still your most dangerous playmaker outside of wide receiver. He's a guy that should have 7-8 targets in a game right now for this Auburn team. And so those are things that you do in the second half of games. Find your playmakers, say, hey, we got to find a way to get those guys the ball and go forward instead of – it's not as much about scheme. Everybody's – once you're in the second half, it's about which guys make plays. And you got to find a way to get your guys the ball that do that right now for this Auburn offense.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Yeah, and you know, and teams will key in on this more as the weeks go on. It was very apparent that LSU was not very scared of him passing the ball at the beginning of the game, and so they drew on up to the line of scrimmage anytime he scrambled. I think the encouraging thing for Ashford in those situations where it happened more as the game went along, because obviously, you know, the pressure starts to build. But at the beginning of the game, it was less of him just putting his head straight down and ducking out, and he was keeping his eyes downfield. It kind of looked like a scramble, but a lot of times it was actually just him sort of shifting out of the pocket, getting where he's comfortable throwing outside the pocket. So like you said, you do have to focus on getting more of those plays to your playmakers, though, because at the end of the day, he's still 19 to 38. He only completed 50% of his passes. So that's an area, of course, you need to improve, and teams will key in on that over the course of the season. Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of positives for this team, particularly in the first half. And then again, they just continue to find ways to drop these sorts of games. There were a few injury notes to make, of course. Seven Banks, the Ohio State transfer, really good news about him. The fact that he was taken to EAMC, the fact that he was able to come back and apparently was showing lots of good signs for them. That was a really scary start to the game. I'm sure, I mean, you were down on the field, but and from the press box, can't really hear much anything anyway. But I mean, a completely silent Jordan-Hare Stadium. So a great sign for him. And that was something the Auburn players even talked about after the game, and you can on social media and everything. That's something that was really good to see, that he was able to come back to that game.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. Now you start looking at this Auburn team, and for all the positives that came out of it, you know, it was a loss. There's still some things that linger in the back of your mind going, man, what if? And the what ifs right now are Brandon Council at center. You know, if something were to happen to him, then and Avery Jernigan, who hasn't really had any significant playing time at all, would be it. Unless you start, you know, moving some other guys around who haven't played at all at the center position. And then you look at defensively, potentially, you know, Ekwu Liotta the rest of this season, if that's the case. We know it's going to be for a while no matter what. And, you know, that's a place where you could ill afford to lose anyone if you're Auburn. And you know, you start looking at it and you got Derek Hall. You know, went out, you get a Marcus Bragg, a transfer from Western Kentucky, and they better be glad they did because he's played a significant role, especially the last couple of weeks. You've seen him kind of pick it up more and more. And obviously played a ton on Saturday. Dylan Brooks, a handful of snaps combined this year. He probably has 20, 25 snaps in his career at this point. That's your only other guy. Be interesting to see what they do. You got Joko Willis there. You got to walk on. Do we see it potentially a guy like Powell Gordon, who was really good in high school? He's not the biggest guy, but as a third down pass rusher, maybe for a couple of these games moving up, especially like a Mississippi State down the line, some of those teams, you try to give him a look. I don't know, but there's a couple of those spots now where you start going, they're razor thin in terms of depth, and you got to stay healthy, you know. If I'm Auburn, I'm wrapping Derek Hall in bubble wrap until I can get him to the field every Saturday. Because right now, there's not a more important player on this football team than Derek Hall with an injury to Liotta.
Yeah, I mean, they're starting to rack up. I mean, TJ Finley at quarterback, of course, once he comes back, maybe you just hang with Robbie Ashford at the moment.
Oh, yeah, I think if Finley comes back, he slides into your backup role.
Yeah.
And who knows if it's – if it's another week, I mean, he wasn't dressed. He didn't throw. Didn't seem like he was going to be. I mean, I wonder if they're pushing to see if they can get him back for the bye week at this point. I don't know how long it lasts. Even to start to throw is different than going out there playing, knowing that you got contact coming. So, yeah, I think it's Robbie Ashford from here on, in my opinion.
Yeah. It happens over the course of a season. But. You know, Bragg came in and played pretty well. I'm actually the replay is on behind me. Got a sack to force a three and out at the beginning of the third quarter. So came in. I think he's played better than expected here at the beginning of the season. I don't think there was a lot of data on him from Western Kentucky. I mean, he was a reserve for a decent bit when he was there. So not many people knew how a Conference USA transfer would perform. But Liotta has been fantastic this season. So like you mentioned, it's going to be at least for a little while for him at that other pass rusher spot opposite from Derek Hall. That's a big blow. You had Cam Riley, who didn't play in this game. And then you talked about those two, you know, you talked about Liotta, and then obviously on the other side, the situation at center, Brandon Council played well, but those are both lines of scrimmage. And so that's difficult to have your injuries there. After the game, again, we talked about it, this 5-game homestand, couldn't go 3-2. Now here you are at 3-2. And of course, as is going to be the case moving forward, it'll be the case again when they just going to go ahead and throw out or go on a limb here and say they lose to Georgia. It'll be the case again on Saturday. It's getting dicey. Brian Harsin is continually having to deflect, or he's done a good job of, I guess, facing the questions about his job security. But I know we talk about it every week now, but the more these kinds of games happen, and the more they look like this, because this was not a Penn State game last year. This was not the Iron Bowl last year. It was a competitive game between two teams, you know, swinging at each other. This was another blown double digit lead. Assuming they have a couple more of these, assuming they get rocked by Georgia, he's going to have to continue to answer these questions until they can find a miraculous turnaround, beat somebody like an Ole Miss, and go out and win 7 or 8 games, or before Auburn makes a change. That's the only two avenues you got right now. One of those things is going to happen.
Yeah. You know, it felt like there in the middle of the third quarter or so that you're watching a game going, okay, whoever wins this game might be 7-5. I just don't see a whole lot more than that for either one of those teams. And so that was a chance for the winning team to, hey, see if you can make a bowl game. LSU's not very good. I thought they were better than that. Saturday just reinforced what we've seen the last 2 years from them. Auburn should have beaten them for a third straight time, destroyed them in that COVID season 2020, won in Baton Rouge down there last year. And that's not nearly as talented an LSU team as we're used to seeing. So that's the issue. And the troubling part of that is that, you know, that's a game you should have won and could have won, but you didn't against a team that doesn't look like they're real good. If you start going into Saturday, you start looking at the schedule going, games where you, how you pull together games and you look at really difficult. You say Georgia really difficult, Alabama really difficult. I don't know if there's anybody else that fits in that category, but you start looking at Ole Miss, Mississippi State on the road going, hey, they're pretty hard. Might group Arkansas into that as pretty hard just because of their offense, where they can score. You start going, okay, where's your chances? West Kentucky. Say, okay, feel better about that one. Probably feel okay about Texas A&M if you play the way you did yesterday. And then what's left? That's it. That there's not many opportunities to win one like you had on Saturday against that LSU team.
Yeah, there's a path to six wins. I think you could look at it right now, and absolutely, if you go ahead and check off Western Kentucky, which you can't do with much authority, but you might as well at this point. Like you say, you play like that against Texas A&M, you can certainly win that game. Maybe you can pick off somebody like
I mean, I think
State, but it,
I think an Ole Miss. I mean.
Yeah,
for as much as they've done, that Kentucky team was really the first, you know, that's the first real game they played, and should have, maybe could have lost that game at home had West Kentucky not turned it over like crazy. I mean, Kentucky not turned it over like crazy at the end of that game. And so that's a game that's there. But I mean, that may all depend on what happens this week. Do you go out and compete, and can you build on what you did, even in Georgia, even at Athens against this team? How's Robbie Asher going to handle going on the road for the first time? How's this team going to handle going on the road for the first time? Some teams embrace it. Other teams go, oh, I don't like that a whole lot. We don't know much about this team because they're five weeks in and a long time since they had to go in a hotel away from home, travel, do all the things. And, you know, that starts this week.
Yeah. And even with, you know, we sit here and we're trying to rack our brains for maybe a path for this team to make a bowl game, but that won't cut it. 6-6, and if you're talking about Brian Harsin's future, 6-6, I don't think would, again, barring some sort of you beat Georgia or something like that, then we're talking. Like we referenced, it's getting more pressure packed by the week. Things are getting a little bit more tense there, and I only imagine that will increase in a big way. Maybe, you know, if you're 3-4 heading into the bye week, I understand you've got two top 10 road games coming. Ole Miss came in at number 9 today in the AP poll. Absolutely, you might have the toughest two-game schedule coming up in all of college football. But you know, like Jason said, you don't compete in those two games. Again, things are just going to get even more pressure-packed. So, Auburn loses on Saturday, first division game of the season to LSU. They're now 1-1. In SEC play heading to Georgia. Of course, that is a 2:30 p.m. Central Time kickoff on CBS. Should be a gorgeous day in Athens for that one. I think it's been a minute since they played a day game in Athens. So that'll be fun. Georgia dropped to number 2 after their scare against – they looked a little mortal against Missouri. They've looked mortal the past couple of games. They struggled, of course, at home against Kent State. We'll see what happens against Auburn next Saturday. So appreciate everybody for tuning in to this episode. Appreciate everybody for listening. If you guys enjoyed it, please go leave us a 5-star review. That is the number one thing that helps us out. The bumper music is by Beats by Mordecai. You guys can follow him on Twitter, SoundCloud, and Instagram. And until the next episode, we'll catch you guys later. Everybody have a great start to the week.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.